glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. We hope that it's there. Everyone loves you.
The psalmist in Psalm 105, verse 4, directs us to look to the Lord and His strength and to seek His face always. Hello, Phil Shepherd sitting in once again for our friend Mark Burns, who is supposed to be taking some time off this week to relax and be with his family. He'll be fully back in the saddle next week along with our Memorization Monday, if you missed that yesterday. Here's another reminder about our 7-day challenge in which we're asking everyone, if possible, to stop and pray as you meet people talking about the coronavirus, political upheaval, job loss, or just plain fears about what's going on. Remember, as Christ followers, we are more than conquerors through our Lord. Today we're going to hear part two of Corrie Ten Boom's address to the National Prayer Congress back in October 1976, The 4-day Congress took place in Dallas, Texas, with addresses from 32 prominent evangelical leaders. Corrie Ten Boom traveled the world over, probably a period of 4 decades, as an evangelist and survivor of the German concentration camps in World War II. In her message, A Lonely Place, she shares her personal testimony and how we as Christians can talk to God about others. With the conclusion of her message, here's the late Corrie Ten Boom.
We are now living in a time that we can expect the coming of the Lord Jesus any moment. When you read the newspapers together with the Bible, you know that now is the generation that experiences the signs of the time. And Jesus said, this generation will not pass away before all this has happened. Before we are passed away, this all will happen, what you can read in Luke 21. We can expect Jesus coming very soon. When he should come tonight, are you ready? We don't know which hour, which day, but we also do not know 1 hour or 1 day that he cannot come. It could be tonight. Peter says, because you have a hope like this before you, I urge you to make certain that such a day that Jesus comes will find you at peace with God and men, clean and blameless in his sight. If you are not, you can be. Everyone can be at peace with God and men this very evening. To be at peace with God is bring your rags to the Lord, confess your sins, claim the finished work at the cross, and thank the Lord Jesus for his finished work. And then turn away from your wicked way. Turn away from your sins does not mean striving to be good. It is not try, but trust. It is not do, but done. Our God has planned for us great victory through his Son. When I try to let this stick stand on my hand, I have no success. But I can have it stand on the top of my finger. Now it stands solidly. Why? Because my hand keeps it. When I try to be good and at peace with God and men, my sinful nature and the power of the enemy make me falling and sinning again and again. But when I surrender to the wounded hand of Jesus, he will keep me steadfast and will make me ready for the great day when he will reveal himself in full splendor to men. Surrender to the Lord. He will make you able to be right with God by his victory, and be ready with men. And that is only possible when we forgive. And when you have still the problem that you cannot forgive and love your enemies, then claim Romans 5:5. And that is available. That love of God is available for you. And say, thank you, Jesus, that you have brought into my heart God's love through the Holy Spirit. And thank you, Father, that your love in me is stronger than my hatred and resentment. And that very moment you are free from your unforgiveness. Do you know that the Lord Jesus has said, he that believes in me, the works that I do, they shall do, and they shall do greater works than I did. You and I, greater works than Jesus did? Yes, for Jesus said, because I go to the Father. And Jesus is now at the Father, with the Father. And Jesus does greater works in this world than he did in Palestine. But he will do it through you and me. Are you willing and ready to be used to be greater works in this world than Jesus did in Palestine? Then it cannot be any compromise. Then we must live in the strength of God's logistics. God has allowed us to know the secret of his plan. And it is this, that all human history will be consummated in Christ. That everything that exists in heaven and on earth will be consummated in Jesus Christ. And here's the staggering thing, that in all which will one day belong to Jesus, we have been promised a share. That is the great future. But the Bible tells that it can be very difficult. Persecution is inevitable for those who are determined to live a really Christian life. Once there came to Napoleon a group of young men, almost boys. And they said, Napoleon, we will serve you. And they stood all on the line. And Napoleon said to them, do you know what it means to follow Napoleon? When you are my soldiers, then I can promise you, when you are hungry, often there's nothing to eat. When it is bad weather, there's no shelter. What is waiting you is hardships, blood and sweat. But, and so he went on, but he said, one thing I can tell you, that when you follow Napoleon, you will follow one, and when you serve him, then you serve one who never lost a battle. And he said, now you must decide if you still like to follow me. I will just turn my face to the other side. And in the meantime, when you say, nevertheless, although it is very difficult and it can be very hard, I will follow you and come one step forward. And Napoleon turned his face, and a moment later he looked, and all the boys stood at the same row. He said, was there not one of you who had the courage to follow me? And they answered, we all had made a step forward. My friends, when we decide to be soldiers for Jesus Christ, then we can expect very difficult things. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:3, put up with your share of hardships as a loyal soldier in Christ's army. It is very difficult to be a follower for the Lord. I was behind the Iron Curtain. I have seen a part of that more than 60% of the body of Christ suffering persecution so terrible as never in the world history, now, at this moment, and it is going worse and worse. And it is spreading over the whole world. We must wake up to reality. There is a song in one of your hymnals, and that is, Lord, make that our congregation escape tribulation. That is not biblical. In the Bible is written, pray that you will be strong enough that you come through all what will happen before my coming. And I was behind the Iron Curtain in many different countries where there was terrible persecution. And I told them, I go to countries where we will pray for you. They never asked me, oh, pray, ask them to pray that we will be liberated very soon. You know what they said? Pray for us that the Lord will give us power that we can stand and come victoriously through this terrible time. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:3, think constantly of those who are in prison. If you were prisoners at their side, think too of all who suffer as if you shared their pain. I was in Africa, in Usumbura. It was a long time ago, and I don't know the political background. But every day Christians got a letter from the police station that they had to be registered. At midnight, 12 o'clock, we heard shooting. All were killed. The next day other Christians got a letter, you must be registered in the police station. All were killed. The third day the same. The fourth day was a Sunday. And I stood in the church and I spoke there and I saw in the faces of these people fear, and I could understand it. They looked at each other. Will he be killed this week? Will she be alive next week? Will I be there? Who of us will be killed? And I said, people, but the Lord does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. And I said, oh Lord, give me a message for these people. And the Lord gave me 1 Peter 4:12. And I read this to them. Now, dear friends of mine, I beg you not to be unduly alarmed at the fiery ordeals which come to test your faith, as though this were some abnormal experience. You should be glad, because it means that you are called to share Christ's sufferings. One day when he shows himself in full splendor to men, you will be filled with the most tremendous joy. If you are reproached for being Christ's followers, that is a great privilege. For you can be sure that God's Spirit of glory is resting upon you. I told these people, when I was a little girl, I said to my father, Daddy, I will never be strong enough to suffer for Jesus, to be a martyr. And Father said, when you go to travel, when do I give you your train ticket? 3 weeks before. I said, no, Daddy, the day that I go to travel. And Father said, that's what God does. Today you do not need the power and the strength to suffer for as a martyr. But the moment you will have the honor that you may suffer for Jesus Christ, he will give you the train ticket, the grace, exactly in time. And I was comforted, and I have experienced it in my life, that when I had to suffer for the Lord, he gave me the grace. And I told these people, don't forget that when you are killed for Jesus, that you have nothing to fear. You get a martyr crown in heaven, and life is short, eternity is long. And I don't know what happened. Yes, I know what happened. The Holy Spirit fell on this congregation. It was so that there came such a tremendous joy in that church that when I was through with my talk, one started and immediately all joined in singing, there's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, and the Father is waiting over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we will meet on the beautiful shore. And when the people left, I heard them still singing, on the sweet by and by, we will meet on the beautiful shore. Half of these people were killed that week. But don't be afraid. The Spirit of glory was resting on them. And it was last year that I was in a congress in Lausanne. And I met a lady from Usumbura. And I said, "Say, can you tell me, how are my friends?" She said, "Your friends? They are all killed." And she saw my face. And she laid her hand on my shoulder. And she said, "Corrie, they are promoted ahead of us." And I said, "Do you go back to Usumbura?" She said, "Yes, immediately." I said, "Are you not in danger?" She said, "Oh, yes, I'm in danger. But then I will be promoted." That woman saw the reality that is not praying, "God, save me, and let my congregation escape the tribulation." But that is, "Lord, take our life, and must we suffer, and may we share in your suffering, Jesus. Just take my life." And we have nothing to fear. Are you afraid to die? Afraid of what? To feel the Spirit's glad release? To pass from pain in perfect peace? The strife and strain of life to cease? Afraid of that? Afraid of what? Afraid to see the Savior's face? To hear us welcome and to trace the glory gleam of wounds of grace? Afraid of that? Afraid of what? To enter into heaven's rest and yet to serve the Master blessed, from service good to service best? Afraid for that? I like that, for I also believe that the service is not finished, but is really beginning when we are with the Lord. Then we will have not service good, but service best. The best is yet to be. And life here is the first chapter of the book, not the last. What a joy is it that we are called to suffer for Jesus. "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake," Jesus said, "for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven." My friends, I have been in a concentration camp where it was hell, where 97,000 women were killed or died, also my sister. And I can tell you, I have never so experienced what Paul has written when he was in a prison and he did not know what the enemy would do with him. "I count everything as loss compared with the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, and of progressively more getting acquainted with him." My friends, in my book, My Prison Letters, you can read that I was alone in a cell, 4 months in solitary confinement. And I wrote, "I hope that when I am free, I will not lose that consciousness of the presence of the Lord." We have nothing to fear. God's logistics give us a power that we can go victorious through all. And we stand on victory ground. There is nothing to fear. In this time, there is no question of compromise. It is losing your life for Jesus' sake, and that means to win it. We are the only people who know the secret of God's plan. I have met Bishop Zhao, who had been in China 17 years. And he said, "I am so glad that I have told the people the gospel all these 17 years, but I have failed in 2 things. I have told the people, you have nothing to fear for tribulation. When the persecution comes, before that time you will be translated." And now the persecution came. 1 million of Christians have been killed and tortured to death in China. And they ask, but why didn't the translation come? The other thing where we have failed, said Bishop Tsao, is that we have not taught every lay person you must be an evangelist and a Bible teacher. I should have been busy to train them. Use your time to tell the people to prepare for a time that there will not be churches and clergy, and that every lay people has to be a representative and an ambassador for Jesus Christ. I believe in the translation of the church. I can tell you there comes a moment that we will meet the Lord Jesus in the sky. We will see him face to face. The best is yet to be. This when Jesus will come and make all things new, and this world will be covered with the knowledge of God, like the waters cover the bottom of the sea. But the Bible tells me that before that happens, there will be that time that there is persecution. Like these boys were ready to suffer for Napoleon, we must be ready to suffer for Jesus Christ. We follow a scarred captain. Should not we have scars? Under his mighty banner, we are going to the wars. Lest we forget, Lord, when we meet, show us your hands and feet. The most terrible torture that I have experienced as a prisoner was that we had to stand naked. They stripped us of all our clothing. 7 times I've had a torture. And the first time was worst. I said, Betsy, I cannot bear this. And suddenly it was as if I saw Jesus at the cross. And the Bible tells they took his garments. Jesus hung there naked. And through my suffering, I understood a fraction of Jesus' suffering. And it made me so thankful that I could bear my suffering. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all.
The late Corrie Ten Boom with her message titled, A Lonely Place. It was given in Dallas, Texas in 1976 at a national prayer conference. Here's a reminder, you can hear today's program once again tonight at 7:30. Or just go to our website at greatnewsradio.org and listen to the podcast. That's greatnewsradio.org. Thank you so much for your support during these trying days. The words of comfort that are provided by Great News Radio may be the only good news out there at the moment. Bill Shepherd sitting in once again for the vacationing Mark Burns. May the Lord bless you richly.